Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us human beings, for the human being, given ibadat, worship, and many routes and methods and practice of ibadat, of worship. Worship is not restrained to just one place or locality. Rather, insan, the human being, according to our characteristics, our nature and our lifestyle, Allah Ta'ala has created the means for us to perform ibadat, worship. And it is obviously apparent and obvious that we live a social life. We have a factor called social intercourse. We have to go out of the house, run the business, wife, children, and you know, dealing with people, meeting with people, and a person is always in a new position or a new circumstance. So deen or worship is not just restricted or restrained to a certain place or a certain time. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has created methods and means and techniques through which we can always be in the form or in the practice of ibadah worship, and we can attain Allah Ta'ala's qurb, His nearness, through these worship deeds. And every act of worship that a person does, it's not just in the masjid. Rather, the worship deeds committed, implemented away from the masjid, they also have a high status and weight, just like the practice and the deeds we perform within the masjid. Just like when we come to the masjid, Allah's home, we pray salah in Allah's home, and one fard salah in Allah Ta'ala's home, Allah Ta'ala gives us rewards and gives us His qurb, His nearness. In the same way, insan, when he's out in society, in the environment, mingling with people, Allah Ta'ala gives us the same opportunity to attain His nearness, and he can surpass the same levels and muqamat and the rewards, and he doesn't get less, rather he gets more. When he is intermingling and committing social intercourse in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala has given rank, levels. You can say different levels of reward. Allah Ta'ala has told us how to live our life. Islam, the deen of Islam, is the great deen. And it has given us the framework, the method. Yes? So if we pass our time in accordance with the principles and regulations of Islam, and pass the time nicely, not only will we control all of the negatives that are there within our lives, but Allah Ta'ala says that on top of that, you are doing high grade and high level deeds of worship. Same way, just like salah, praying and other acts of worship, Allah Ta'ala says in society, if you live in society and in the world in the right way, you will attain even there the higher ranks than that, than the normal acts of worship. So the usul, the principles that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we need to be careful about the principles of deen. This is the quality, and you can say the glowing, shining light of Islam that it gives us. If we practice Islam correctly, then we are a role model for the society around us. We will be demonstrating the very excellent manners and conduct. Look, in society, when a person lives in society, in the world, he has attached to him shaitan, and the desires, the base desires, and these things make a person commit mistakes, commit sins, do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. Mistakes occur, somebody steals, somebody oppresses somebody, somebody takes somebody's wealth, somebody hurts somebody else. There are many different types and branches of sin, many colors and forms of sin. Shaitan is very clever. He knows how to present sin to us as a sugar-coated tablet, you could say. And he presents it as a nice action, which has got attraction. So after we sin, we do tawbah. Then we're purified, we're clean. Allah Ta'ala wipes away the sins. Alhamdulillah, the person's clean, like a newborn. Now, what is his status in society then? That person. Now, this is the important point. So this is now where ibadat comes in, worship. Now if we see that this person stole before, or he committed bad actions, or his children are very bad, etc. So what do we do when we see a person like this who's got a bit of a history? What happens in our societies and peoples? Because we've forgotten this, you know. All we know about ibadat is go to the masjid and pray salah, and that's the end of story. After that, nothing else. And we've forgotten this worship. And we've forgotten the sins, we've forgotten the punishments, We've forgotten all the other acts of worship and all the types of sins that can be done and all the punishments that will be due for them. And we just know that praise Salah. So if I know, for example, and we do this, don't we? Yeah, a lot of the higher 99% more, and more women do this. And this is a weird pastime. So the person's committed a sin. Somebody's got a bit of history. He's done bad things. She's done bad things. They've done tawbah. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. They did something wrong. Yeah. And then there are three or four or five people sitting, and that man comes with a tawbah, and they say, "Oh, how you doing? So what happened when you did that sin?" And they expose that person. And he's ashamed. He's ashamed at that time. So that poor lad or person, sister, brother, they go somewhere else to another gathering, or a few people, four women, sisters are sitting, and the sister sits down and her son's astray. And they say, "Oh, nowadays, you know, children, they're off the track." And, you know, they're hinting that it's her child. And then she's ashamed, drowned in the sweat. Or if they say that a brother or a sister, they know they've done something wrong, or someone in their family has done something wrong, we won't leave them. We will speak about them, we'll expose them, we'll make them feel ashamed. And we go, "Here, there's a problem. We go, there, there's a problem." We've gone to the masjid, we've prayed, and we come away from that and see what we say and what we do with other people. And we think this is not a crime. We are laughing, joking, exposing. "Oh, you come, oh, the thieves come. Because he used to steal before." Okay, he made a mistake. He's asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven. What is our business to expose him? After a person does tawbah, he's improved. And we are joking against that person. We're reminding him or her of their history, their old actions. Or if their children are off track, or on a daughter, or on a family, or on any negative previous action, and we expose them to other people. What does Islam say about this? What does the law of deen say about this? This is not a small thing. Thousands of worship deeds will be melted away due to this error that a person commits. This is a crime on the basis of akhlaqiyat, conduct and manners. And to rectify this bad habit, this dirty habit, to expose people. We are immersed in this today. Allah Ta'ala's azab comes on us, Allah Ta'ala's wrath comes on us, and we have illnesses and we have problems, and we blame it on black magic or somebody's cast a spell on me. No. It's due to our societal issues. We don't think there are problems in our society today within our actions. We say, no. I pray five times salah. I go in jamaat. I go to congregation. I do dhikr. I do tasbihat. I do umrah. And we'll put the whole list of our worship deeds in front of us. But we won't see the sins and the wrong actions we've committed amongst the people, against the people. And they're untold ibadat. Untold about that, so many ibadat that we could do that are good in society, and so many sins that we do that we should leave in society. This is our basis, isn't it? Our basis for success is physical worship. But what is the loss when a person does this? When he exposes the bad things about a person, because we don't consider that as a sin, we don't do tawbah on that sin. So that person passes away. He was praying salah, he did many umrahs, he recited Quran nicely. This is what we look at, don't we? In tens of thousands, there will be one person who will praise him and say, "Oh, he was good. He used to assist the poor people and the widows. Until today, he's not given loss to anyone. He's not said anything bad about anybody." Very few people will come into that category that you will hear somebody praise somebody after they passed away. Because on dhahiri things, the face, the appearance, the ibadat, there will be a long list of all their worship. But when that person goes in the grave, what will be asked then? Adab, the punishment will start. So my brothers, we need to focus and pay close attention, and we need to bias ourselves towards the actions we do in society. We need to think about this. And to do the wrong actions against people in society, tawbah will not be accepted. Wallahi, the tawbah will not be accepted by Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala says we don't pay attention towards our issues in akhlaq. We give some tawajjuh to a khanqah. We go to the gathering of wali Allah. And then we talk about ulu. But when you sit with the wali, the friend of Allah, this is what we learn. Akhlaq, manners. And how to ingrain manners into our life. How to do good things to people in the world. And how to fulfill people's haq. When a person goes to wali Allah, this is how he changes. He improves his akhlaq. His akhlaq. When a person sits with the wali of Allah and he doesn't change his akhlaq, then 100%, 200%, he has wasted that chance that Allah Ta'ala gave him to become a good human being. What do people do? We're going to learn dhikr. We're going to practice the dhikr. We're going to practice sunnah and learn sunnah. We're going to change our appearance. This is our basis of success, of reformation. Or there's a majlis or a urs or a jalsa. This is our basis of success. But this is the basis rather. The tazkiyah, the khanqah, is the spiritual purification hospital. A person who goes to the khanqah within a week, forget about a week. A week's too long. If you're going with the right intention, then the first sight and sitting with the sheikh, you will attain this. Akhlaq, me, I am a sinner, and I was a sinner, and I was the spider immersed in the sins, and I am the dust on the base of the slippers. But I know the amount of sins that I went and presented myself to my Hazrat Nurullah Marqada, and I went the first time, wallah, I'm sitting on this prayer mat. In the first meeting, I was a changed person, because khawf came into my heart. The first thing, I had nothing. The first thing that came into me was the fear for sin. Fear for sin. That you are totally useless, bone idle individual. So brothers, we have to think, we are on the path of tazkiyah, tasawwuf, and tafsiyah. And someone says, I've been on this path of masalik for 30 years, 40 years, I've won this, I've done that, I've heard this. This is not the principle of tasawwuf. The objective of doing dhikr, of being a salik, of being a student, and of this majlis, I'm not a wali Allah. No, but the objective of going to a wali of Allah, I'm not speaking about what's happening here or within myself. I'm sitting here due to the hukum behind me, and I'm sitting here due to your blessings, and I speak about the walis of Allah. So the finger is not to get towards myself, it's towards the walis of Allah. So sit with the walis of Allah. The objective of sitting with the walis of Allah, let's understand, recognize that Allah Ta'ala has given us a very precious and valuable thing, and if we don't do our islah, we don't rectify ourselves, we don't understand our batin, and our akhlaq doesn't improve. Oh, I'm starting to pray tahajjud or salah. Alhamdulillah, this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing, but this is not the basis. This is not the reason why you've come to this gathering. You haven't gone to the khanqah, the wali of Allah, to improve your ibadat. You've gone for this reason, that all of the spiritual and negative illnesses and maladies and sins that are within us, and our akhlaq and our manners which are on a low level. So when we sit in the company of the wali, the sheikh, our akhlaq can come into control, and we save ourselves from the biggest of sins. These are such big sins that are based on bad akhlaq, bad manners, bad conduct that I've just mentioned. Now let's see, that's just one small example. I probably do this, and you probably do this. We see someone who's got a bit of history. Oh, look what he's done, look what she's done. And then the person giggles and sniggers. Is that the case? And that person who did that action, even if you look at them or laugh at them like this, it becomes like an arrow in their heart, that this person's speaking about me. And even if you try to hide and speak in secrecy, the person will think that you're speaking or looking at them in that way with the evil eye. You should greet them nicely, and you should make them feel that you are the criminal and they are pious. That's how should akhlaq should be elevated. We should make the person realize what's his past, his history, what's he done before. But the women, they're the best at this. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to change the ways and understand. But the women folk, they don't leave anyone to be on their own. This is his defects, her defects. Her son's gone off the tracks, he's a bad boy. And the daughter, 10 years ago, she did this. And even after 10 years, will pull the leg of that person, keep on pestering them, reminding them. Hazrat Mu'ad ibn Jabal Rabbi radiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased, when he narrated the hadith. Now the verses of the Quran that have been revealed and the hadith that have been narrated, this is dalil. They understand, if you don't accept this, then you will be immersed in the worst of adab, punishment. The Quranic recitation cannot save you. That we cannot consider the message of Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ways as insignificant. When a message is coming to us from Quran or via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then straight away put the antennas up. Focus, attention. This is a hadith, Tirmidhi hadith. And the subject of this hadith, the bayanat have been given on this, and explanation. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present and stated that if a person says to another person something to remind him of his defects and sins and bad actions, or if he makes him feel ashamed or tries to disrespect him on his own or amongst other people or jokes against him, to remind somebody about their past, their negative history. So when a Muslim, he pesters his Muslim brother and reminds him or her about their sins, then death will not come to that person as until he himself or herself is not involved in that action, in that bad action, that bad deed. And this is a big warning for us. a big warning that if you make the joke for about the thief, then until you don't become the thief yourself, you will not pass away. And who is saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think, where's our ibadat, our worship, our fasting in Ramadan, and all our actions? Have we seen this? This is society, the ills, the maladies, the sicknesses, how Islam has presented the high grade practice. The Islam gives us the framework. The question doesn't arise that if I'm saying I'm following the rays of sunlight from Islam, then I should be walking as a clean, pure person on the earth and not ridiculing and putting people down. And this is what we go to learn when we go to the Wali Wallah's company. Yes, yes, we don't just go, it's not stated, oh, people keep saying, oh, he's going to learn dhikr, all they do is dhikr. No, this is the means to the end point. And the end point, the objective, is to elevate our akhlaq. And people should say that this person's got good akhlaq. We've seen change in this person. He's a good individual. Instead of people criticize you, knock on your door, who's your sheikh? Whose student are you? Give me his phone number. I want to go to him to complain about you. And then, no, don't please go to my sheikh. Don't go to this person. Tell me, what a big difference between these two examples. If a person goes and does his islah, rectification, and he doesn't, that's the big difference. Alhamdulillah, if a person goes to the sheikh, he says, you know, I saw your student in this city, in Makkah, I saw him in Medina, and mashallah, I saw that individual, and I had the desire that I go to that person who is his teacher, so I can do my islah as well. This is the kind of murids we need. These are the kinds of murids we need. This should be the character of ours. And this is shukr. We should be grateful that Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great gift that within us, for our betterment and our improvement, Allah Ta'ala has given us the means, the guidance, the company of the pious people. So a person who has got illnesses and sins within him, spiritual sins, akhlaq sins and defects, and there's a big punishment for this in the world. That for example, if I criticize someone about his sins or her sins, then until I don't get that same sin in my life or practice it, I won't pass away. That's the punishment of Allah. And how we sit down and easily fob things off and talk about people and ridicule people and put people down and criticize them, we'll get so many sins that we'll earn due to this, that may Allah forgive us. We'll have to die to get away from those sins. But do tawbah today, brothers. Number one, that we've come here, we sit here, or whoever goes to the sheikh, to the teacher, our maqsad, our objective is what? Is alhamdulillah, that people should praise us with regards to our character, our manners, and our conduct. Not tasbih. People shouldn't be looking at us, be changing the color of the clothes, showing that we're clean and pious and we're dhakirin. This is not our objective. This is no link with us. The link is what I've just said. That the dunya, they come from afar and they say to the teacher that, Hazrat, we've seen a murid of yours, a student. And we know that I felt the desire in my heart at that time after I saw that individual. Was he done? Whose company has he taken? Who's his teacher? We were in a journey and alhamdulillah, we stopped off one place and I didn't get a room in a hotel and I felt ill and I met this person and he said, why are you distressed? What's the problem? I'll give you my hotel room and if I get it, fine, no problem. I'll pass the time. Why are you distressed? You take. He said, I was such in a severe situation and Allah's mercies came and he gave a little sacrifice for my sake and he didn't take any money and I found out, who is this? Who are you? And you keep on seeing these faces and they're wandering the world. But we've seen very few people like this. That no telephone, no da'wah about salah. He said, I was so happy and I was given ease. I wanted to pay him for, but he never took the money. He said, no problem. I'm here to help. And after that, he didn't even meet me. He didn't make me feel the favor. By chance, I met him once in tawaf and there was salam, dua. Then he told me and I asked him, then mashallah, that, he said, no, I'm not worth anything. There's another individual. I'm dirty. I'm impure. And I went to the company of a wali and he taught me tariqah. He taught me conduct and akhlaq. And I heard about this from him and I've come to you, O teacher, so that I can become better. What great days and generations used to pass. That's how people used to go to the walis of Allah, through the reference of people from thousands of miles away. That we've seen your student, your murid, O sheikh, and we've come to you to learn the same. So elevate your rank, akhlaq, the maqam, the path Allah has given to us, deen. People due to this become abdals and kutubs and they reach to the highest station. Allah makes all their deeds accepted and on the earth they are living, on the heavens. Allah announces that these are my beloved servants. SubhanAllah, for sisters, for brothers, for men, for women. Every day Allah Ta'ala says, I announce that, is there anybody there who is my servant, who will come to me, who will come close to me? Allah Ta'ala announces this. So we need to try. We should make attempts. We should strive. And we don't need to do wudu to strive. We don't need a prayer mat. We don't need to buy a plane ticket. No, we just have to suppress the desires. We have to identify our nafs, control it, suppress it. You haven't understood today what I've said? Then try to practice on it. Inshallah, at least something will be attained. Yesterday we spoke about akhlaq. Didn't we? Do you remember that lesson, or shall I revise it? You should remember what I said yesterday. So that should be solid. And today is the second discussion on akhlaq, and I've recited a hadith. And this is why. Why? So that we realize if we practice this, so that inshallah our death will come upon that practice that we speak about. In this hadith, it doesn't say about istighfar. It doesn't explain this. What's the istighfar for this sin? If we commit this sin, may Allah Ta'ala forgive. That if we expose somebody's deficiencies and laugh about him, jest about him, joke about him, or in the company of other people, how will I attain forgiveness for this? Allah Ta'ala says, I don't like this sin, that you expose somebody, disrespect that person and rub his respect in the dirt. Allah Ta'ala says, respect is just like the Kaaba, the house of Allah. That is the rank of the respect. Maybe he made a mistake, maybe his son made a mistake, and he wanders around society. You make mistakes as well. Why do you need to speak bad about that person? Why do you ridicule that person, play that person down? That's how we should be, isn't it? That's when we realize that what is the color, the effect of the ibadah, the worship in the masjid that we do. So if you do these good actions based on good conduct, then your prayer will become light. Yes, like there's a room, you decorate it, construct it, nice carpet and nice furniture, and it's dark. And then you come in and put the switch on, the whole room illuminates, isn't it? And we made that that ourselves. This masjid is made and everything's there. And it's nice and glowing, but there was no light. Soon as the prayer was performed, great ibadah, great worship deed. There's nothing that compares, but still the masjid is dark. But soon as you elevate your akhlaq, your conduct increases and improves, then suddenly you see like the noor in the house of Allah. Everything glows. The recitation will glow. The rewards for reciting the Quran, the angels come, they listen to him, they take his recitation to the arsh, and that's when the reward starts. Otherwise it will just stay there. Nothing will happen. Yeah, it would be just like the masjid, switch off the lights and that's it. The darkness has come, there's no light. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, the ability, so that we can practice, and we will inshallah try our best to practice on this. Ameen. Recite the Rushdie.